So, Pauline, you're here. You were working out in Liberia until August, but of course you're not from Liberia, you're from here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. I want to thank you all for coming, first of all. And I really appreciate it. I'm originally from the Dalkeith area, so a local girl. And this is my home church, so I'm at Crubbers, and Crubbers are also my sending church as I've gone off to Liberia. But I was working for the Scottish Government. In fact, it was the Scottish Executive when I left, and now it's the Scottish Government, so that tells you how long ago that was. And I worked with them in policy. And to cut long story short, I was thinking about missions, wondered if I could do mission, and prayed about it, and things worked out, and I took a five-year career break. And on that five-year career break, I started on the Logos Hope ship, which is a Christian mission ship. And it's a ship with Operation Mobilisation, an international Christian organisation. So that's how I ended up from where I am to the Logos Hope.
Right. So how did that take you to being in West Africa then?
So I was on the Logos Hope ship for 4 years. I did 2 years in the refurbishment phase. I worked with I was PA to the director on board for that time. He left, and then I went into the newly developed help department. And that was really where I wanted to be because I enjoy the humanitarian side of work. So I was in that department, and being in that department, I was sent on the lineup team. The lineup team is a group of people from the ship who go into a country 4 or 5 months before the ship comes in to work with all the different authorities, the government, the ports, the police, to get the ship to come in. So I kind of by default went with the lineup team and lived in Liberia. Had heard of it, didn't know much about it, but really the Logos Hope ship put Liberia on the map for me. But on the ship, it was always my prayer to see people and a place that I would want to go back to. And I left in the December 2010, and I was back in Liberia in April 2011.
Wow, so that's how you got to be in Liberia in the first place. So what... Yeah, you've been sent out from the church, but you're a volunteer, actually, in Liberia. Do you work there on your own, or are you working with a project?
Yeah, so I'm working with CAFMAC, which is Christian Alliance for Mission and Church Planting, a mouthful, so CAFMAC. And it's a small Christian Liberian charity, local Liberian charity. And it's founded by Pastor David, who I work with. And it's got kind of, it's a twofold. One part is that he has a heart for pastors, and he knows the difficulty for pastors working in Liberia with the conditions, with the people. And it's a network of pastors helping pastors. But there's the other side of it too, that we have a project in Bomi County, which is about 2 hours outside of Monrovia. And I'm a voluntary project officer at the moment I'm also doing the finance, so finance officer. And we have about 50 acres of land, which was donated to CAFMAC. So a lot of practical work, a lot of promotion on that site. But the vision was to do a mission retreat and development centre. It's a huge vision, looking to build a school, child rescue village, training centre, agricultural plot. So it's a big vision. And as the Liberian people say, we're starting small. We have two buildings on the ground at the moment, and it's to help the surrounding villages that are in a lot of need and a lot of poverty.
Super. So it's a really worthwhile project in and of itself. Now, last July, Ebola hit the news over here, certainly. How did you first hear about Ebola out in Liberia, and what impact did it have on you and on the project that you work for?
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't even know what Ebola was. And in the January, although I didn't know about it then, I believe is then when it was in Guinea. And then by the March, it was in the rural areas of Liberia. Again, I didn't think an awful lot about it. I was in central Monrovia. I did have a friend working with SIM who was a nurse, and she was quite frantic. I didn't know why, because I didn't really know what Ebola was, but now I can see why she was. So we heard about it, but for me, I wasn't seeing it. And then in the July, there were two American, one a doctor and one another lady, were working in a hospital in Liberia, and they contracted Ebola. So although Ebola was in Liberia, that is really when it hit the headlines. That's when it hit the news. It hit the news in Liberia, and I think it hit the news here. But for me, it went from hearing about it to suddenly in July, the president announced a national state of emergency. So it was a bit of a shock. A shock for the country, I think, because it's, as I say, it suddenly went from one scale to the other, or we just weren't hearing about it. It was hard because Pastor David, about a couple of weeks after that, was saying, you know, we need to watch, we need to, you know, look at you possibly going home, which I didn't want to do. So that was really, really difficult. And then, well, you know, I obviously did have to come back, but a huge impact because the work had to stop on the project.
Tell us a bit about kind of how it impacted the project. The work that you've been doing was 2 hours from where you were. Mm-hmm. How did it?
I mean, mainly the government, you know, were looking obviously to contain it. So you had to cut the restriction on movement. So there was no movement round about the time I was leaving between the counties. So we couldn't go from central Monrovia to Bomi County, so there was no way that project work was going to happen. But as the time went on, there was restriction of movements within the country. Government offices started to close, but people were running away. Hospitals closed. Nurses didn't have the protective gear. Were scared, so they were running, you can understand. Mm. So a lot of the hospitals were closed. The schools were already closed in the June, but they still haven't reopened. So the kids have been safe at home. So a huge, you know, impact across the whole country, basically come to a standstill, which they haven't really experienced since, well, probably since coming out of the Civil War. So it's been really hard, a hard situation.
You might have noticed some pictures Pauline's had up from time to time. There's one picture of a chap that's made his own protective clothing.
Protective.
I know we're going to get a wee example later on of somebody wearing protective clothing, so watch out for somebody with that.
Don't get a fright. I put together I was speaking in a school, and I put together a B&Q protective clothing suit to show the children, because the children in the schools had been watching it on the TV. So don't get a fright, but Cara is going to maybe wander around in her suit. So.
Oh, brilliant. Now, your mum and sister are here tonight, actually. Mm-hmm. And, whenever you had to come home, obviously that was a big relief to your family that you were here and home and safe. But, what was it like for you leaving the country that you had made home and the people that you loved and obviously were working with?
I mean, I think for mum and dad it was a relief, because we were on the phone the whole time. I was trying to get out the country, you know, and even just to talk a little bit about that, it was difficult because at that point I didn't know if I was going to get to the airport, then I didn't know if I was going to get through the health checks. I just didn't know what was going to happen at the airport, so it was quite stressful. But then when I did come home, rather than everybody meeting me and meeting mum and dad at the airport, we decided that the best thing, not because I thought there was anything wrong with me, but we felt for people not understanding Ebola, that I did a self 21-day quarantine, because that's the incubation time of Ebola, just really for the safety of it. So that was difficult in itself, but yes, the relief of eventually getting home. But I mean, leaving Liberia, I mean, it was a wrench. Even now, it's like a tug of war, because I want to be here, I want to be there. But, you know, I've been working with these people now for over 3 years, and they become really close. They're really close friends. You know, they're almost like my African family. And it's just the fact that I'm not just here for vacation and I'm going back. I've left them in a really hard and horrible situations, so it's been a wrench to leave them there. But
we'll come back to them in just a little minute. Mm-hmm. But tell us, what have you been doing while you've been back?
Yeah, just the opportunity to share about CAFMAC, what they're trying to do. But also it's not easy, but to talk about the Ebola crisis, because they need the help. So just through speaking, people have been great, really generous, giving donations, and we've been able to send a bit back already to Pastor David, which has been really encouraging. So yeah, speaking a lot, sharing a lot, but also anything that we have been doing is going to CAFMAC for CAFMAC to help in the villages and the communities around that are really struggling.
Super. Well, tell us a little bit about how the project's doing. How is it coping? Mm-hmm. What kind of things is it doing now that it can't go and do what it originally
I'm keeping in as much contact with Pastor David as I can. And, you know, he's amazing, because we know it's difficult. And he always says, yeah, Pauline, it's difficult, but we're all well by God's grace. And it really is, because everyone I know and connected and the wider friends are miraculously, because it is safe from Ebola, and pray that it continues. They're doing well, and also with what we've been able to help them with, Pastor David as well as another two pastors that I'm working with have been able to open their church almost as a distribution centre, and what we've been able to send back, there have been the local community people have been coming in, they've been able to get food, because food is a high priority right now. And although Ebola is a very serious illness, it can be kept back by basic hygiene, which we have easily here, but they don't there. So a lot of basic hygiene products they're handing out, and the people that are coming are getting them free, because it's really us here that are providing that money for them to get it. And it's helping. I think Pastor David reckoned the last time I spoke to him about over 1,000 families at the moment have been helped through funding.
Super. So the money that you guys are giving tonight, whether donations or sales or cakes and refreshments, give us some examples of what that might be actually buying.
Yeah. There's some pictures up the back there and a bit here. But the main thing is food. Their daily intake is the rice. They have oil, because oil expands the meal so that more of the family can be fed. And they season with like cubes, like OXO cubes, chicken cubes, and that's very sort of popular with them. So these are the three main things in food, water, and on the sanitation side, you'll see at the back at the table there, there's a red bucket. It's a very basic bucket, but again, Pastor David is able to buy these buckets, and with Dettol, or they call it, it's Clora, but bleach will go in the buckets. Now, if you had been in Liberia now, you would all have had to have washed your hands coming in here and wash your hands going out. So that is every shop, every internet cafe, business, whatever, those that can afford it have these buckets. So he's also been able to provide buckets, and that's what you'd be helping with. So soaps, gloves, sanitizers, basic things for us, that's what. And also medication, if he can administer it, because we hear a lot about Ebola, but there's still malaria. And then you have the problem of people not getting treated because there's no hospitals open. So, you know, if they can also maybe get some malaria treatment or tablets or whatever, we can help that way.
And is it just anybody in the local community that they're helping, or are they targeting specific people? Or?
Yeah. We're part of CAFMAC, and we have members of CAFMAC. And so the churches, which is a lot of churches, are being helped because they have a membership with CAFMAC, but that's not stayed there. That's then gone out into their communities, bearing in mind as well the restriction of movement, so they're helping who they can help. And the latest update that I got from Pastor David, it was really touching, because there are priority people. He was saying, we're helping the vulnerable, we're helping the elderly. There's a lot of orphans have come out of this situation, widows, and another picture he showed, which was quite touching, was there was a group of deaf and blind coming to get their stuff. So there's a wide group of people that CAFMAC have been able to touch through this.
Super. That's great. Now, Pauline, you're a Christian, and when you experience something like living in a country where Ebola hits or seeing it from over here, what difference does it make to you in terms of both how you understand the situation and also how you respond to this kind of crisis?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's very difficult, you know. Ebola, you know, why Ebola? And it's not easy. But, you know, even as a Christian, and as long as I've been a Christian, we know life isn't easy. You know, we go through our good times, our bad times, our easy times, difficult times. But I think in all this, you know, even when I struggle, I have the assurance that I'm not on my own, because I've got someone that I can pray to, I've got someone that I can lean on, that I can trust. And, you know, that whole side of just Jesus's love for us, you know, he cares for me just as well he cares for you. And I mean, this is a horrendous situation. And I think as well, it brings it to mind that, you know, people have been confronted with what are they doing with, you know, what is happening with their life, because they don't know, you know, maybe their families have Ebola. And so, you know, even sometimes you can get quite maybe complacent, you know, even me being here. But when you get faced like with this, it's like, you know, it's like, where am I going? You know, and I know where I'm going, but, you know, where are you going? And with Ebola, people will be saying, well, what's going to happen in my life if that is a question that they have to think. So the assurance of knowing where I'm going and just having that comfort as well, because it's not an easy situation. And so, and, you know, even on the whole side is the fact that we know that Jesus suffered for us. So, you know, we have a relationship with someone who knows the suffering, because he suffered and died on the cross for us so that we could have a hope, in this life, and the hope of life beyond. And so it's just such a comfort to know that. And yeah, and I'm, you know, and I hope and pray that, you know, people in Liberia will really be touched in a very, very difficult situation.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask Malcolm, who's one of our pastors here at the church, to come up and actually pray just now for the people in Liberia. Prayer is an expression of our love and care for them, but it's also an expression of our trust in a God who understands suffering, and that God who cares about each and every individual life and the situation that they're in, that they're going through, a God who cared enough to send his son to die so that they would have this hope for eternal life. And I'm going to ask Malcolm. Malcolm, you've lived in Africa as well, haven't you? You've lived in Ethiopia and not just lived there, but lived during a time of real suffering in the civil war, haven't you? Have you thought about some of these questions before?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, this is something that we've wrestled with a lot. And just, you know, as Pauline was speaking there, I was thinking about a note that we just got, you know, from one of our friends who's actually working in Liberia just now. Even, you know, and Pauline knows this as well as I do, you know, even just, you know, no one shakes each other's hands now, no one sort of puts their arms around each other and hugs each other. It's, you know, how are you? You know, and so the whole of, you know, social relationships have been disturbed through this because of trying to protect themselves. But yeah, I mean, this whole question, I think, leads us to think about, you know, why does God allow suffering? You know, why is there suffering in the world? And it's something that you hear constantly as crises come up in different parts of the world. We see it again and again. And people in the media challenging the church, you know, why does God allow suffering? It's a big question. Yeah.
Super. Well, would you like to pray for Pauline?
Sure, I'll do that. But let me just make a quick comment on that, because I think it's important just to address that this evening before we pray. I think as we look at the world today, we see, I believe, God has created this world and created you and I in his image as a pinnacle of his creation. And when you read in the Old Testament right at the beginning, at the creation story, it talks continually about each day he created something, it said, and it was good. And again, and it was good. And then when it came, he created man and woman in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. And again, it says, and it was good. And so I think as we think of the world today and its suffering, this is not what God intended it to be. This is not what was his plan. It was only because of our rejection, our turning our back in God, that suffering and sin and death has entered into this world. It's only because of that that this has come about. And yet, I'm sure you can ask right away, well, why doesn't God do something about it? Why doesn't he get on with it and do something about it? And my response to you is that he has. He has done something already about it. He has got a plan that's in place. And that plan was in sending Jesus to come into the world to pay the price of a punishment for our sin and rejection, and to invite us to accept him so that we can be restored to him. And his plan will go on ultimately until his coming again, when he wants to bring us back to that point of where his creation is good and perfect, not what we see today. So often God gets suffering thrown back in his face, but it really, I believe, as I look at the Bible and as I set scripture, suffering and the pain that we have in the world today has come about because we've turned our back on him and rejected him, and he longs for us to come back again. So let me take a few moments and pray for Pauline. Father, we come before you and we thank you that you're a God who has created all things good. And yet, Father, we acknowledge that in that creation, we have stepped out of your plan. We have rejected you. We have turned our back on you. We have taken that image, that free will that you have given us, and we have used it to walk away from you. Father, we confess our sins and pray that you would, as we come before you, accept us through the blood of Christ as your children. And Father, I want to pray especially for the great nation of Liberia. Father, this nation has suffered so much in the last 15 years. I think of the civil war, where there is not one family in that nation that has not been affected by that terrible war. And I think of just these past months and the families that have been devastated by this Ebola crisis. I think of people that we know there who have been infected and thankfully, Father, have recovered. Father, we praise you for that, and we pray that we thank you that it seems as if the crisis is the medical authorities are getting on top of it, and we pray that that will indeed continue and that this indeed will be eradicated. And so, Father, we pray for the work of the project that Pauline is in. We pray that you would bless it as the churches respond to the needs of the people, that they try to put things in place and teaching practical things in place for them in terms of their own personal hygiene, their community hygiene, so that there will be no situation where these infections, this crisis, this Ebola will come back again. Father, I pray for Pastor David as he leads so much there with so much on his plate, that your grace will be upon him, that your grace will be sufficient for him in the midst of all the challenges that he faces. And Father, I pray for Pauline that you would give her great wisdom in terms of her own return there to that situation. We know her heart is torn. She has been used of you to highlight this crisis, to help raise resources for that. Yet you know her heart is pulled back to the people that she loves and knows in that great nation and in the city of Monrovia. Father, guide her in that decision and go before her as she seeks to wisely make that decision. So, Father, I pray for each one of us that as there is suffering in this world, Father, you have called us to respond like Jesus, not to just step back and let it happen, but to jump in and to do things practically. It could be financially. Father, help us to respond and to be part of eradicating this terrible disease at this time in West Africa. So we just give that part of the world over to you at this time. And Pauline and the work in Liberia to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.